The United States Steel Hour presents the Theater Guild on the air. Our play, Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Our stars, Boris Karloff, Melville Cooper, Margaret Phillips, Tom Helmore, and Estelle Winwood. Our broadcast, produced by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, tonight stars Boris Karloff as Magwitch, Melville Cooper as Jaggers, Margaret Phillips as Estella, Tom Helmore as Pip, and Estelle Winwood as Miss Havisham. Rex Thompson is featured as Young Pip. And now we raise the curtain on Charles Dickens' Great Expectations, adapted by Eric Barnell, directed by Homer Fickett.
My family name being Philip, and my first name Philip, the best my infant tongue could do with either name was Pip. So I came to be called Pip. I never saw my father or my mother, and my first chances about them were unreasonably derived from their gravestones. The shape of the letters on my father's stone gave me an odd idea that he was a square, stout man with black hair. And from the slender letters of my mother's name, I pictured her as thin and fragile. I sometimes visited their grave, and I remember particularly one raw afternoon towards evening. Through the gathering dusk, I made my way alone past the marshland towards the graveyard, a bleak place overgrown with nettles. From the sea, the wind was beginning to howl savagely, rattling the branches of the trees as though they were dead men's bones. And then, as I made my way uneasily among the graves, suddenly...
Keep still! Keep still, you little devil, or I'll cut your throat.
No, sir, no!
Tell us your name, quick.
Pip.
Show me where you live. Point out the place.
Yes, sir. Across those marshes. Let go of my neck, please, sir.
Now, where's your mother?
Right there, sir.
Will you?
No, sir. She's over there, where it says, and Georgiana, wife of the above.
You mean they're buried there? Your father and mother?
Yes, sir.
And who do you live with?
With my sister, sir. This is Joe Gaudry, wife of Joe Gaudry, the blacksmith.
Blacksmith, eh? Now, look here. Do you know what a file is?
Yes, sir.
Then you get me a file to file these chains about me ankle. And you get me food, too.
Yes, sir.
And if you say a word of this to anyone, your heart and liver will be tore out and roasted and ate. There's a young man hidden with me. And in comparison with him, I'm an angel. A boy may lock his door, be warm in bed, but that young man will softly creep his way to him and tear him open. Now will you bring those things?
Yes, sir.
Say, heaven strike me dead if I don't.
Heaven strike me dead if I don't.
Now get off home.
Well, there you are, Pip, at last.
Hello, Joe.
Your sister's been out a dozen times looking for you, Pip. She's out again now.
Is she?
And she's got her switch along with her, Pip. Her tickler, as she do call it. She got up and she made a grab at tickler and she rampaged out.
I'll give him an idea.
She's a-coming. Get behind the door, old chap, and put the towel betwixt you.
Oh, there you are. This time you'll get hiding. You won't forget in a hurry.
Ow!
Now then, where have you been?
Graveyard,
indeed. It's bad enough being a blacksmith's wife without having to be a second mother to you. You'll be having me in the graveyard, keeping me on the rampage with my poor heart. Now get to the table, both of you, and eat your supper.
Listen, was that great gunner's door?
Yes, but another convict door.
What does that mean?
Oh, escaped, escaped.
There was one escaped last night. This must be a second one.
Where does the firing come from?
Bless the boy. From the prison ships, of course. Across the marshes.
I wonder who's put in prison ships and why they're put there.
There you go. Answer him one question, he'll ask you a dozen. People are put into prison ships because they murder and steal. And they always start by asking too many questions. Now get on with your supper and then off to bed.
That night I hardly slept. Before dawn I got up and tiptoed downstairs. I found a file, and in the pantry some brandy and a newly baked pork pie. And so started off once more to the graveyard by the marshes. At the entrance to the graveyard, a man suddenly started up and ran away.
Ah!
The chain rattling about his ankles. I noticed he had a large scar on his face, and I decided he was the young man my convict had mentioned. Then presently, near my parents' grave, I found my convict shaking with cold.
What's in the bottle, boy?
Brandy, sir.
Gimme. Now the food. You brought no one with you?
Oh, no, sir.
Good.
I'm glad you enjoy the pork pie and the brandy.
Thank you, boy, I do.
Aren't you going to leave any for him?
Him? Who's him?
The young man you spoke of.
I only said that to frighten you.
But I saw him as I came in the gate.
What's that?
He had a big chain about his ankle, like you, sir.
Did you notice anything about him?
He had a big scar on his face.
Not here, across his cheek.
Yes, sir.
It's a varmint. So easy to plague me again. Let me have that file, boy.
Yes, sir.
Now.
If you're not wanting me, sir, we have company for dinner, and my sister will be up early.
That's right, boy. You run along.
I will, sir. Goodbye, sir.
I want you all to taste my savory pork pie. Just a minute and I'll bring it in.
What's the matter, Pip? Why are you sinking down in your chair like that? Do you feel ill, Pip, old chap?
I believe I do.
Oh, too much to eat, Pip, old chap?
No, I don't think so.
It's gone! It's gone!
What on earth?
It's gone. The pork pie's gone. Stolen.
But that's impossible.
Pip! Pip, come here.
Yes, ma'am.
Look me in the eye. Pip, did you...
Open up in the name of the king.
Why, it's soldiers outside.
Squad at ease. You'll excuse this intrusion, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm on a chase in the name of the king. I want the blacksmith.
Oh? And what might you want him for, pray?
Mrs., speaking for myself, I should reply, for the pleasure of his fine wife's acquaintance. Speaking for the king, I answer, a little job done.
What can I do for you, Sergeant? I'm the blacksmith.
The lock of these handcuffs goes wrong, blacksmith. Will you throw your eye over them?
Gladly.
They're wanted immediately for an escaped convict.
Oh.
You folks seen anything of him?
Oh, no.
He's been reported close hereby, near these marshes.
Weren't there two that escaped?
We've caught one, and he's told us where to find t'other. We'll have him presently.
His handcuffs are ready in a moment, Sergeant.
Good. Then you'd best come with us, if you will, in case they give further trouble.
In a few minutes, Joe had repaired the handcuffs. Then, as the men started off once more, Joe took me by the hand, and we followed, straight along the marshes. As we saw the soldiers closing on the graveyard, I felt sick.
How's this? Watch out!
Oh, no, you go.
I got two. Don't try to get away. Hands up now!
Oh, they've caught him.
I'm afraid they have, Pip, old chap. And they're bringing him right this way. Oh, what a fearful-looking man he is, Pip, old chap.
Oh, he tried to buy his freedom again, did he? With my aid.
Well, I could have got away if it hadn't been for the varmint. I could have made it for myself.
Keep moving. Watch him closely.
Wait! Hold on a minute.
What are you stopping for? Keep him moving.
Wait a minute. I wish to say something respecting this escape. It may prevent someone laying under suspicion because of me.
What is it?
I took some food from the blacksmith near the village over yonder. It was a dram of liquor and a pie.
You happen to have missed such an article as a pie, blacksmith?
My wife did the very moment you come in.
Ah, so you're the blacksmith, are you? Then I'm sorry to say I ate your pie.
Oh, you're welcome to it as far as ever it were mine. We don't know what you've done, but we wouldn't have you starve to death for it, poor miserable fellow creature. Would it, Pip?
No, we wouldn't.
Now, stand aside, please. Forward, hush!
That one day, above all others, stands out in my mind. But there was another, equally strange, that seemed even more the turning point in my life. One day, my sister came home with a triumphant look in her eyes.
Now, if that boy ain't grateful this day, he never will be. Here, Pip, at once.
What am I to do?
You're to be washed. Look at you. Grimed with dirt. Off with that shirt at once.
Not that scrubbing brush, please.
Oh, you know who Miss Havisham is?
She's that strange lady in the large house. She never goes out. They say she's mad.
Huh. She may be mad, but she's rich enough to make your fortune. She wants the boy to go and play in her house. And one of the tradesmen who goes there suggested you. And you'd better play there or I'll work you. Now, down in the water with your head.
Yes, ma'am.
An hour later, I stood by the huge iron gate of the mysterious Havisham house. Most of the windows had been boarded up, and the grounds were overgrown with weeds. I rang the bell. A moment later, to my surprise, a young girl about my age came to the gate.
What name?
Pip.
Quite right. Now follow me, boy.
She led me through the weed-covered yard towards the side door. She was pretty and seemed very proud.
Don't loiter, boy.
No, miss.
We entered a dark, musty hall lit only by a candle. She took up the candle and led the way along a passage and up a stairway. We passed several old clocks on the way, and I noticed that each one said 9:20. I felt I should mention it.
Your clocks have stopped. They should say 3:00.
Don't be ridiculous, boy.
At last, in the hallway upstairs, we came to a halt.
This door.
After you, miss.
Don't be silly. You're to go in alone. Go in.
Yes, miss.
Come in. Who is it?
Pip, ma'am.
Pip?
Come to play.
Come nearer. Come close. Look at me. You aren't afraid of a woman who's never seen the sunshine since you were born?
No.
You see what I'm wearing?
A wedding gown.
And do you know what lies here beneath it?
Your heart.
Broken. Yes, look around you. There is the bridal banquet, the table ready for the guests, the flowers long withered, the wedding cake a heap of decay. It and I have worn away together. Mice have gnawed at it, but sharper teeth than teeth of mice have gnawed at me.
I'm very sorry, ma'am.
Sometimes I have sick fancies, and I have a fancy I should like to see someone play. Play, Pip, play. Go on, play.
I'm sorry, Miss Havisham.
Go on, play.
I don't know how to begin.
Oh, we'll call Estella. Estella, are you there?
I'm coming.
Estella, come here. Let me see you play cards with this boy.
With this boy? But he's a common, laboring boy. And look at his boots.
Well, you can break his heart. There. There are some cards. Deal them, Pip.
Yes, ma'am.
What coarse hands he has. You stupid, clumsy, laboring boy.
She says many hard things of you, Pip, but you say nothing of her. What do you think of her?
I don't like to say.
Come on, tell me in my ear. Come close.
I think she is very proud.
Anything else?
I think she is very pretty.
Anything else?
I think she is very insulting.
Anything else?
I think I should like to go home now.
And never see her again, though she is so pretty.
I'm not sure that I shouldn't like to see her again. But I think I'd like to go home now.
You shall go home soon. First, you shall play the game out. And then you can wheel me about a while in my chair. Would you like that, Pip?
I'd be glad to, Miss Havisham.
Why don't you cry, boy?
Because I don't want to.
You do. You're near crying now.
Play. Let me see you play. And next week you can come back, Pip, and play some more.
So began my weekly visits to Miss Havisham. And on each of those visits, I wheeled her in her chair and played cards with Estella. And each time, although Estella was as haughty as ever, I would go home and lie awake at night thinking of her. I would think what a low opinion she would have of Joe, a mere blacksmith. And then I would resolve that I would grow up no longer coarse and common, but would somehow become a gentleman for Estella's sake. Then one day, going for my weekly visit to Miss Havisham's, I found her gate open. As I went in, a pale youth, somewhat older than I, stepped into my path.
Hello, young fellow.
Hello.
Who gave you leave to prowl about? Who are you?
I'm Pip.
I'm Herbert, nephew of Miss Havisham's. We're all here today, you know.
All?
All her relations, up from London, for her birthday. My mother hopes Miss Havisham will leave some money and make a gentleman out of me. Why do you come here?
I've come to play and wheel Miss Havisham in a chair.
I see. Let's fight, shall we?
I don't want to especially.
I'll have to give you a reason then. There. Now I've hit you, and you'll have to fight.
I'm willing, though I don't really care to.
Put up your hands now, and you best watch out, because I've been taking lessons. Are you ready?
I suppose so.
Is the ground quite satisfactory to you?
Oh, yes.
Watch out then, Pip. Here I come. Here I come.
Oh, I'm sorry, Herbert. Did I hurt you?
My word. You knocked me right down.
I didn't mean to.
It serves Herbert right, the young man.
Were you watching?
Come, Pip. You ought to come in now.
Yes, Mrs. Stella.
This way. You may kiss me, if you like.
May I?
Well, am I pretty?
Yes, I think you are very pretty.
Am I insulting?
No, not so much as you wear.
Not so much, though.
No.
Now, take that, you coarse little monster. What do you think of me now?
I shan't tell you.
Well, 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 what's this? What? Whom have we here?
A boy.
A boy of the neighborhood, eh?
Yes, sir.
Why did you come here, boy?
Miss Havisham sent for me, sir. I come each week.
Well, behave yourself. I have a pretty large experience of boys, and you're a bad lot of fellows. Mind you behave yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now run along upstairs.
Come, boy.
Is he one of the relations?
Of course not. That's Mr. Jeggers. Now come in this room. They're all in here.
Yes, miss.
Oh, Pip, come in. These people, Pip, are my relations, the Pockets from London. Listen, all of you, this is Pip.
How do you do?
My relations are all very interested in my health, Pip. So once a year, on my birthday, I summon them to visit me, see how they glare at you, wondering. Now sit down here, Pip, and Estella, too. Pip, tell me again the name of that blacksmith of yours.
Joe Godfrey, ma'am.
You are apprenticed to him?
Later on, yes, ma'am.
You're growing, Pip. I think you'd better start your apprenticeship at once. And, Pip, here are 25 golden sovereigns as a gift from me toward your future, Pip. Look how they quake, my relations. Someday they will come and see me stretched out upon the wedding table with a crumpled cake and the spider webs. And then the ruin will be complete, but not yet. And now, Pip, you'd better say goodbye.
Goodbye?
When you're apprenticed, you will not be able to wheel me each week. But come again, next year on my birthday.
I will, Miss Havisham.
And now, say goodbye to Estella, too.
I'm going away to France to be educated for a lady.
To be educated for a lady?
Well, aren't you sorry I'm going?
Yes, Estella, very sorry. And I do hope.
What do you hope?
I do hope it won't be long before I see you again.
My boyhood had ended, and my life as a blacksmith began. Day after day, I stood beside Joe in the forge and worked and learned my trade. But always, month after month, a face moved through my daydream. Estella's face. Sometimes she was saying,
"You may kiss me, boy."
And sometimes,
"Common, coarse, laboring boy."
And so the years passed by. Years during which my sister died and at last lay at peace in the graveyard. And then there came one day a loud knocking on our door. Joe opened it.
Are you the blacksmith named Joseph or Joe Gargery?
Yes, sir.
Have you an apprentice commonly known as Pip? Here?
I'm Pip, sir.
Ah, so you're Pip. My name is Jaggers. I'm a lawyer in London.
Haven't I seen you somewhere before, sir?
That is neither here nor there. I wish to have a conference with you two. May we sit down?
Oh, yes, of course. Sit down, please.
Thank you. Now, Joseph Gargery, I am the bearer of an offer to relieve you of this young fellow, your apprentice. You would not object to cancel his apprenticeship for his own good, at his own request?
Well, heaven forbid that I should stand in Pip's way.
Very well, then. I come now to this young fellow. My communication to him is that he has great expectations and that he will come into a handsome property.
Pip, did you hear? I can't believe it.
Further, that it is the desire of the present possessor of that property that he shall be immediately removed from his present sphere of life and from this place and be brought up as befits a young gentleman of great expectations.
Pip, old chap.
Now, Mr. Pip, you are to understand first that it is the request of the person for whom I take my instructions that you always bear the name of Pip. If you have any objection, now is the time to mention it.
I have no objection.
No, I should think not, indeed. And secondly, Mr. Pip, you are to understand that the name of the person who is your liberal benefactor is to remain a profound secret until that person chooses to reveal it. If you have any suspicion as to who that person might be, keep that suspicion within your own breast. If you have any objection, speak out.
I have no objection.
And now, Mr. Pip, kindly consider me your guardian.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, I tell you at once, I'm well paid for my services. Otherwise, I shouldn't render them. I have arranged for you to go to London in a week's time. Lodgings will be ready for you. You will need some new clothes. Here are 20 guineas to that end. Well, Joseph Gargery, you look dumbfounded.
I am.
Then good night, Mr. Gargery. Good night, Pip.
Good night, sir. Pip, a young gentleman of fortune.
Well, that Mr. Jaggers. I saw him years ago in the hallway.
Pip, no matter what you suspect, remember, not a word.
You're right, Joe. I'll say no more. But I wonder...
You wonder what, Pip, old chap?
Well, before I leave for London, would it be all right for me to go and say goodbye to Miss Havisham?
Well, I don't see why not, old chap.
Pip, this is a very gay figure, Pip.
I've been buying some clothes. I start for London tomorrow, Miss Havisham. I thought you would kindly not mind my taking leave of you.
Well?
I've come into such a good fortune since I last saw you, Miss Havisham. And I'm so grateful for it.
I've seen Mr. Jaggers, Pip. I've heard all about it. So, you go tomorrow?
Yes, Miss Havisham.
So, you're adopted by a rich person, Pip. Not named.
No, Miss Havisham.
And Mr. Jaggers is made your guardian?
Yes, Miss Havisham. Is Estella...
Still abroad, prettier than ever, and admired by all who see her. You, too, have a promising career before you.
Well, I'll try to deserve it, Miss Havisham.
You will always keep the name of Pip, you know.
Oh, yes, Miss Havisham.
Goodbye, Pip.
Goodbye.
And good luck.
And so next day I climbed on the stagecoach bound for London and started off for a new life, a young gentleman of great expectations. You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And now the curtain rises on the second act of Great Expectations, starring Boris Karloff as Magwitch, Melville Cooper as Jaggers, Margaret Phillips as Estella, Tom Helmore as Pip, Estelle Winwood as Miss Havisham, with Rex Thompson as young Pip.
In London, one of my first vivid impressions was from the window of Mr. Jagger's office. A huge crowd was gathered outside.
Stay and watch if you like, Pip. It's not a pretty sight.
Well, what are they going to do?
They're setting up the gallows. A man is about to be hanged. One of our clients whom we failed to have acquitted. It sometimes happens.
Was he guilty?
I never make up my mind unless the evidence is complete. Half the trouble in the world comes from people jumping to conclusions from incomplete evidence.
Do you represent many criminals?
You mean defendants accused of crime?
Well, that's what I mean, naturally.
Of course we do. Now, if you'd rather not watch that dismal sight, perhaps you'd better get on to your rooms.
Yes, Mr. Jaggers.
Here's the address written out. Now, you will share lodgings with the Mr. Herbert Pocket, who will be your tutor and arrange your lessons in dancing, fencing, and other traditional occupations of a gentleman. You will find him at this address. You will get funds each week from this office. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
Then goodbye and good luck, Mr. Pip.
Yes?
Are you Mr. Herbert Pocket?
Yes. And you're Mr. Pip?
That's right.
Then come in.
Thank you.
But I know you. You're...
Why, you're the pale young gentleman for Miss Havisham.
Bless me, and you're the prowling boy. Why, the idea of it being you.
Well, the idea of it being you.
I hope you'll forgive me, Mr. Pip, for having knocked you about so that day.
Oh, of course.
You hadn't come into your good fortune at that time, had you?
No.
I was rather on the lookout for good fortune then.
Oh, indeed.
If Miss Havisham had taken a liking to me, I suppose I should have been provided for. Perhaps I should even have been engaged to Estella. But I didn't care much for it. She's a Tartar. You know, she was adopted and brought up by Miss Havisham to wreak revenge on all the male sex.
Wreak revenge on all the male sex? What revenge?
Heavens, Mr. Pip, I thought you knew.
No.
Dear me, it's quite a story. And it shall be saved till dinner, which will be served anon. Come, shall I show you our quarters?
I wish you would. Oh, Herbert.
Yes, my dear Pip.
Well, as I've been brought up as a blacksmith, I'd take it a great kindness if during dinner you give me a hint where I go wrong in my manners.
With pleasure. Though I should guess you need very few hints.
Thank you very much. Now, please tell me more of Miss Havisham.
Ah, yes, Miss Havisham. Let me introduce the topic by pointing out that in London it is not the custom to put the knife in the mouth. For fear of accident.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it is scarcely worth mentioning.
Well, I must apologize. Thank you very much.
Not at all, I'm sure. Now, Miss Havisham was an heiress. And, as you may well suppose, was looked upon as a great match. Well, one day there appeared upon the scene a certain man. Now, I never saw him, for this was 25 years ago. But he pursued her closely and professed to be devoted to her. And there's no doubt that she fell passionately in love with him. Which brings me to the cruel part of the story. Breaking off to remark, dear Pip, that it is not usually considered necessary to fill the mouth to its utmost capacity.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, not at all, I'm sure. The marriage day was arranged. The wedding dresses were bought. The wedding guests were invited. The day came, but not the bridegroom. He wrote a letter.
Which she received when she was dressing for her marriage at 9:20?
Exactly.
So that was why she stopped the clock.
Yes, she barred and shuttered the whole place as you've seen it, and has ever since looked upon the light of day.
Well, Herbert, you said that Estella was not related to Miss Havisham, but only adopted. When was she adopted?
Well, Estella has been there ever since I can remember. That's all I know, except that she is being groomed for the great revenge and is in time to descend upon London society. And now, let's change to brighter prospects. To London, and a very, very future.
To London, and a merry future. It was several months later, months of constant lessons and aversion, that I received one day a letter from Joe. It was written in a very halting style.
Dear Pip, old chap, Miss Havisham wishes for to see you at once. Come and stay at Forge, as ever, Joe Godgery, blacksmith.
I could hardly contain my excitement. This, I felt, was some new phase of Miss Havisham's plans for me. And that very day, I was on the stagecoach bound for home. But instead of staying with Joe at the Forge, I pretended to myself that it would be too much trouble for him. So I did not see Joe, but went to the Blue Boar Inn. For in trying to become a gentleman, I had become a snob. The next morning, I went straight to Miss Havisham.
Well, Pip.
How do you do, Miss Havisham?
Oh, you kissed my hand as if I were a queen. Well?
Well, I thought that you were so kind as to wish to see me, Miss Havisham.
Well, look behind you. Hello, Pip.
Estella.
Yes. Well, Pip.
Estella, this is an unexpected pleasure. I didn't think to find you here.
You two must have a lot to say to each other. Go out into the garden, both of you, and walk and talk together.
This garden holds so many memories for me.
It was here by this side door that I hid and watched you fight that day.
Yes, I remember.
I must have been a strange little creature, but I enjoyed it very much.
You rewarded me very much.
Did I?
Don't you remember?
I remember I had great objections to your opponent. I took it ill that he should be brought here to pester me with his company.
He and I are great friends now. Do you remember the first time I came here? The time you made me cry?
Did I? I don't remember.
Not remember that you made me cry?
You meant nothing to me. Why should I remember? You must know, Pip, I have no heart.
No one looking at you would believe that.
Oh, I have a heart, of course. But you know what I mean. There's no sympathy there, no softness, no sentiment. If we are to be thrown much together, you had better believe that at once. And now perhaps you'd better go inside again, back to Miss Havisham.
Very well, Estella. Come on.
Thank you.
I'll bring the candle. Estella, I can't believe what you said just now about having no heart.
Very well. It's been said, at any rate.
I still can't believe it.
Then remember how I was brought up in this dark house. And don't expect too much of me. But let's not shed tears for my cruelty today. See, there's Miss Havisham waiting for us at the head of the stairs.
Well, Pip, is she beautiful, graceful, well-grown?
Oh, yes, Miss Havisham.
Do you admire her, Pip?
Everyone must who sees her.
She's going to London soon, and you shall meet her there.
I shall be the happiest man in London, Miss Havisham.
Love her if she favors you. Love her. If she tears your heart to pieces, love her. I adopted her to be loved. I developed her into a woman to be loved. Love her, love her, love her.
A week later, Estella came to London, and by arrangement, I met her at the stagecoach and escorted her to the home where she was to live. The following weeks were for me a time of most indescribable joy. It was a whirl of dances, of gavottes and Spanish polkas, and through them all, the face of Estella. I learned to my pain that Estella had, in no time at all, countless admirers. This is our dance, Estella.
But you don't look happy about it, Pip. Come, smile as we dance.
Estella, look at that fellow Drummle over there. He never takes his eyes off you.
Why should I look at him? Is there anything in Drummle I need to look at?
That's what I want to ask you. He's been hovering about you for weeks.
Moths and all sorts of ugly creatures hover about a lighted candle. Can the candle help it?
Everybody dislikes him. There's nothing to recommend him but a long line of insufferable ancestors. Makes me wretched to see you encourage him.
Does it?
You give him looks and smiles you never give to me.
Do you want me then to deceive and entrap you?
Do you deceive and entrap him, Estella?
Yes, and many others. All of them, but you.
So it was that my dreams became a nightmare, for I loved Estella with a passion that I could not put aside. And then one bleak, rainy night, as I sat brooding in my room.
Mr. Pip. What?
I missed the door. Quick. Well, what on earth? How dare you push your way in here?
Now, let me look at you. My boy, my boy. Boy.
Would you please state your business?
It's disappointing to a man after having come so far. You don't know me, do you?
The graveyard. On the marshes, years ago. Well, you're the convict I gave food to.
Yes, you acted noble, my boy. Noble, Pip. And I've never forgot it.
If you've come to thank me for that, there's no need. However, since you found me, will you drink something before you go?
Yes, sir. I'll drink, thank you. Before I go.
I hope you won't think I spoke harshly to you just now. I wish you well and happy. How have you been living?
I've been a sheep farmer away in the New World, in Australia.
I hope you've done well.
Oh, I've done wonderful well. I'm famous for it.
I'm very glad to hear it.
I hope to hear you say that, dear boy, but you've done well too, huh?
Yes, I've done quite well.
May I make so bold as to ask how you've done well?
How?
Aye.
Well, I've been chosen to succeed to some property.
By the mere Varmida school's property?
Well, I don't know.
Could I make a guess at how you get your income? From a guardian, maybe. A lawyer. And as to the first letter of that lawyer's name now, would it be J?
But how should you know?
Yes, Pip. As the man who employed that lawyer whose name might be Jaggers, I wrote from Australia for your address. And though he warned me not to come, here I am. Pip, my dear boy, I've made a gentleman of you.
You? But
it was me what done it. I swore that time as sure as ever I earned a guinea, that guinea would go to you. Why, I'm your second father, Pip, and you're my son.
But I'm so astonished.
And how handsome you've grown. Is there a pair of bright eyes somewhere which you love the thought of? They should be yours, dear boy, if money can buy them. But didn't you never think it might be me?
No, never. Was there no one else?
No. Who else should there be but me and Jagger? Well, where are you going to put me, boy?
Put you?
Aye, to sleep.
Well, I...
Who's that at the door?
Don't be alarmed. It's only...
What a night.
This is Mr. Pocket, who shares rooms with me.
Hello.
Herbert, something very strange has happened. This is a visitor of mine.
Oh. Hold on a minute. Whoever you are, hold up your right hand.
My right hand? Let go of me, please.
Now say, strike me dead on the spot if I spill a word.
But I say...
Do as he says, Herbert, I beg you.
Strike me dead on the spot if I spill a word.
Now you're on your oath. And heaven have mercy on you if you break that oath.
After the sudden return of the old convict, whose name I learned was Magwitch, I took the first stagecoach for home. There were things I had to ask Miss Havisham. But when I arrived, in the candlelight of the gloomy, cobwebbed room, I was surprised to find Estella there with...
Hello, Pip.
Hello, Estella. Miss Havisham.
What wind blows you here, Pip?
Miss Havisham, I'm as unhappy as you could ever have meant me to be. I've found out who my patron is.
Oh. But isn't that good news, Pip?
I can say no more of that now.
Well, then.
Miss Havisham, when you first caused me to be brought here, I suppose it was just a passing whim on your part.
Aye, Pip, it was.
And that Mr. Jaggers was...
Mr. Jaggers had nothing to do with it. His being my lawyer and the lawyer of your patron was a coincidence.
But when I fell into the mistake that I've so long remained in, at least you led me on.
Yes, I let you go on.
Was that kind?
Who am I, for heaven's sake, that I should be kind? Well, well, what else?
Estella.
Yes, Pip.
I always thought that Miss Havisham in some way meant us for each other. I couldn't tell you of my real feelings for you while you were not free to choose for yourself. But now I must say this before I go. I love you, Estella. I've loved you ever since I first saw you in this house.
Pip, I have tried to warn you not to love me, but you wouldn't be warned.
Is it true that Bentley Drummle continues to pursue you?
Quite true.
That you encourage him and ride out with him and that he dines with you almost every day?
Quite true.
How can you fling yourself at such a man?
Should I rather fling myself at you, Pip? Who would sense at once that I bring nothing to
you? You cannot love him, Estella.
What have I always told you? Do you still think, in spite of it, that I don't mean what I say?
Estella, you would never marry him.
I must tell you the truth. Bentley Drummle is at this moment at the Blue Boar Inn. He and I have come from London to announce our coming marriage.
Estella,
I must go now to go riding with him. Pip, don't be afraid that I shall be a blessing to him. I shall not be that. Here is my hand.
Estella.
And now goodbye, Pip. Let's part on this. Goodbye.
Miss Havisham.
Yes?
You're responsible for this. And if you can ever undo any scrap of what you've done amiss in keeping from Estella part of her right nature, it'll be better than to bemoan the past through 100 years.
You say that to me? What can you know of sorrow?
I know what you've done to Estella's soul.
I, who have waited in this room by the banquet table in the candlelight, I, who have felt my heart break, and you say that to me? What do you know of sorrow? Here, take this candle and go.
Havisham, take care of the candle.
Go now, I tell you.
The lace on your dress is touching the candle. Ah! Lie down, I'll try and smother it. Help! Help! I worked desperately to smother the flames with pieces of rotted tablecloth from her bridal banquet. By the time I had succeeded, she was dead. The next day, she lay in state, as was her wish, upon the long table. And then she was laid to rest. And I went back to London and tried to drive from my mind all thoughts of Miss Havisham and of Estella. But in London, I found new problems.
Thank goodness you're back, Pip. We're really in trouble.
What do you mean?
It's him, the varmint.
Who?
You saw him at the graveyard, the man with the scar.
Him?
He turned informer then to save his own skin, and he'd do it again. We had warning
for... It seems Mr. Magwitch here, years ago, was deported as a convict to Australia. By returning to England, he renders himself liable to... well, to the gallows.
Ah, but that couldn't keep me from wanting to see my boy.
But that's
my
terrible.
Own gentleman.
What are we to do, Pip?
Well, there's only one solution. We must get him abroad at once.
You think we can?
I'm sure we can. I'll go along with him until he's out of danger.
Ah, he's a game one. My boy's a game one.
Now listen. Nearby at the dock, we can rent a small rowboat.
Go on.
On the first dark, moonless night, we three shall row far downriver to a point where the foreign packet ships must pass. And there at high tide, we shall wait. Seem as if we're being followed.
They'll be too sure yet. We left the house. I'm sure I saw a man at the corner
slipping off into the night.
We'll keep moving. I'm glad it's so dark and misty.
Ship ahoy!
Do you suppose that was meant for us?
I don't know. Keep rowing.
Oh, what a gaiman my boy turned out to be, huh?
Tell me something.
What, dear boy?
What I did for you as a child was such a small thing. Why have you done so much for me?
I had a child of my own once, Pip. A little girl. Its mother died. Then that baby was all I had. Then when I was tried and sent to the prison ship, I lost that baby. I never heard news of her again.
You don't know what happened to her?
No. I never found out. It's a dark part of my life. But when on those lone, shivering marshes, a boy was kind to a half-starved convict. The boy took the place of the child he'd lost.
Ship ahoy!
They're closer. We are being followed.
Oh, faster, Herbert. Listen. The other way. That's a steamship.
The packet steamship for France.
It must be. As fast as we can, Herbert. Make for that packet ship.
Ahoy! You have an escaped convict in that rowboat there. I call upon him to surrender. And you to assist.
Faster, Herbert.
It's no use, boy. They're gaining on us. They have many oarsmen from the sound of it.
If only we could reach that packet steamship first and get alongside.
It's the packet ship. It's close by.
There it is.
It's almost on us. But he isn't. Pull left. Pull left.
Look out.
rope, Mr. Jaggers.
He must have received a bad blow from the paddle wheels as your boat was hit. With that and the exposure he suffered in the cold water, the prison physician gives him very little chance.
Well, I really meant, is there any chance of his release?
None whatever. He knew there wouldn't be. I warned him.
Yes, I know.
You realize, of course, that you will no longer inherit his money. That will be claimed by the Crown.
Well, the money is of no interest to me.
If you had been a blood relation, it might have been different.
You mean, if he had a child, the money would go to the child?
The money might go to the child.
Mr. Jaggers, there was a child.
So you think there was a child, do you?
I know there was a child. And what's more, Mr. Jaggers, I believe you do too.
Sit down, Pip. I'm going to put a case to you, but I admit nothing.
I understand. You admit nothing.
Put the case that a man charged with a serious crime has a little child.
I understand you perfectly.
Now, Pip, put the case that this man's legal advisor knows an eccentric and very rich lady who is anxious to adopt a little girl. You understand, Pip?
I understand, but I can hardly believe it.
Now, Pip, put the case of this legal advisor, who has often seen children tried at the criminal bar and known them to be habitually imprisoned, whipped, neglected, cast out, qualified in all ways for the hangman, and growing up to be hanged. Put the case that here was one pretty little girl out of the heap that could be saved. Did he do right, Pip?
He did right.
Ah.
Does the girl know?
She does not know.
It would be best if she never knows.
She has a claim to her father's property. The legal advisor must use his own judgment.
Yes, I see.
Now, as to her father, I will arrange for you to visit him at once in prison.
Is it Pip?
Yes, it is I. Pip.
God bless you.
Are you in pain? Listen, I have something to tell you. Can you understand what I say?
Yes.
You had a child once, whom you loved and lost. She lived and found powerful friends. She is a lady and very beautiful, and I love her. O Lord, be merciful to him, a sinner. The old man died in my arms. And as I walked from the prison later that day, all the exhaustion and anguish of the past week seemed to bear down on me. And then the world seemed to lose focus. Flashes of light danced before my eyes. A sledgehammer pounded inside my head. And suddenly the world began to spin around and around. And that was all I remember until one day I woke up and...
Pip, are you waking up, Pip, old chap?
Joe. Is it you, Joe?
Which it are, Pip, old chap?
Joe. Where am I?
You're at home, at the forge. I brought you home, dear old Pip, old chap.
But what do you mean?
Well, when I heard of what had happened to you and how you were ill, so to speak, I went to London and I brought you home. This'll always be your home, if you want it to be.
Joe, you break my heart. Please don't be so good to me.
Now, looky here, old chap. Ever the best of friends.
Joe, how long have I been ill?
Many, many weeks, Pip. Was it fretting for her that started all this? I mean to say, for the girl, Pip, old chap?
Yes, perhaps it was, Joe. But that poor dream has all gone by. All gone by. In the following weeks, as I gathered strength and rested in the sun by the old forge, I secretly resolved to pay a visit to the Havisham house where the dream had begun. And so one day I made my way there. I found the house open and went in and groped my way upstairs. And there, to my surprise, I saw a light, a candle burning. And sitting there by the banquet table in a long white dress that...
Hello, Pip.
Estella. But what are you doing here? I thought you were in London with your husband.
I have no husband, Pip. Have you not heard?
I've been ill, Estella. I've heard nothing.
When Mr. Jaggers disclosed to Bentley Drummle my true parentage, he no longer wished to have me for a wife. Well, Pip, why don't you laugh? You have every right.
I have no wish to laugh, Estella. I'm truly sorry.
You've no need to pity me. It simplifies my life. There's now no need to sell the house. It is mine and I shall live here. It fits the pattern of my life now, Pip. Away from the world and all its complications.
Estella, how long have you been here? How many days or weeks?
I don't know.
Estella, you must leave this house at once. It's a dead house. Nothing can live here. Leave it, Estella, I beg of you.
This is the house where I grew up. It's part of me. It's my home.
It's Miss Havisham's home, but she's gone, Estella. From this house, from you, from both of us.
She's not gone. She's still with me in this house, in this very room. She's here, Pip.
Then I defy her. Look, I shall let in the sunlight. I shall tear away these ancient curtains. I shall open these windows. I shall smash away these shutters. Look, Estella, I'll let the sunlight in. Don't you see, Estella? The dust and decay will drive them away with sunlight.
No. No, Pip.
I've never stopped loving you, Estella. Even when there seemed no hope for love. You're part of my very existence. Part of myself. Estella, come with me out into the sunlight.
Pip, I'm afraid.
Look at me. We belong to each other, Estella. Let's start again. Together.
Oh, Pip. Pip, darling.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of Great Expectations, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. We express our thanks to our stars, Boris Karloff as Magwitch, Melville Cooper as Jaggers, Margaret Phillips as Estella, Tom Helmore as Pip, Estelle Winwood as Miss Havisham, and Rex Thompson, who was featured as Young Pip. Our thanks also to the other members of our cast as Joe, Carl Harvard as Mrs. Joe, Sarah Burton as Herbert, Anthony Kemble Cooper as the Sergeant, Norman Barnes as Young Herbert, Judson Reese, and as Young Estella, Veronica Cole. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theater Guild on the Air will bring you an event of unusual interest when it stars Shirley Booth in The Glass Menagerie, Tennessee Williams' poignant and restless drama of a woman who tried to escape the realities of living by turning to her dreams of the past.